Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about, this is probably going to be one of the most helpful and practical podcasts to date. And we are sort of circling back on content from previous podcasts. But I've been doing this for, I think, 3 years or so. There's over 160 podcasts, and people, you can use it kind of as a library to go through and pick through topics that you want to hear, guest speakers that we've had on the podcast. The intent in any of these podcasts is to actually provide you, the listener, with practical things, like I just said. Our mission is to educate and empower. So one of the things that we do and that we've built out over the years is our virtual coaching program. And in our virtual coaching, we don't have the luxury of having someone come in person and working on them and restoring function to their neck and doing these hands-on techniques. And so we have to teach you how to take care of yourself. And what I tell people when we start our virtual program is that it's essentially us telling you what we would do if we were in your shoes, what types of providers would we think to look for evaluation, but also just how do you take care of your neck? It's like going to the dentist after 20 years and you haven't brushed or flossed, and then, you know, we got to do some work to fill the cavities, but then we got to figure out how to brush and floss and what foods to eat. Like, how do we take care of our neck? And so on this podcast, I have with me again, Dr. Brant Gutwein. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here again.
The reason I have Dr. Gutwein on the podcast is because he's doing the bulk of our virtual coaching. And so we're going to glean some insights as far as what we're seeing, as far as what's working, what are the habits, trends, things that might need to change within the day-to-day life. And we're going to talk about the workstation setup and what work should look like, because that's where a lot of people find either it's emotional stress, physical stress, things like that build up. So let's hop into it. As far as painting the picture of, like, overarching theme, what are some of the heavy hitters as far as problems that people run into, workstation, you know, what's causing these headaches?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that groundbreaking of idea, but it's just taking what we've what you've kind of highlighted in other podcast episodes, what we've talked about in our virtual coaching sessions, and just kind of putting it together. But it is the root issue is the neck. It's prolonged position of the neck at work. It's the sedentary nature of work itself. A lot of jobs, most jobs are, you know, desk jobs, or even if it is a workforce job, like a mechanic or something, they're still going to be in prolonged positions, leaning over a hood. It's more manual labor, but there still is that prolonged position where, you know, unless you're thinking about it, you're not thinking about what position is my neck in. And so that just lends itself to a very high likelihood to create headaches, or if you have headaches, to then trigger the headache. So the answer isn't quit your job. The answer, it's not a very sustainable plan to just say, like, hey, I'm just going to quit my job and kind of just wing my financial future from here. But so then you have to figure out, okay, well, if work can trigger my headache, what is modifiable within that so that work doesn't trigger my headache? And that involves some changes at work, that involves changes away from work. This involves even just like having an employer that can cooperate. A lot of employers, and I think that this is one of, like, the, you know, it feels weird to say, like, the good things that happened in 2020, you know, the COVID season, is a lot of people worked virtually. And so they had this idea of, like, okay, well, if I'm going to work from home, I need to figure out what's the ergonomic work setup. And then when people got back to work or went back to the office, they had that same thought. And I think a lot of businesses and corporations were like, well, we should probably put that same amount of thought and effort into our, like, office setup. And so most companies have, like, an ergonomic team. Within that, though, I mean, they're thinking generalities. They're not specifically thinking headaches. And so that's what I think that this podcast and this kind of conversation will be helpful in, kind of enlightening the idea of, okay, there's the general ergonomic setup, but specifically, what can you do at work, at home for the headache, both to prevent the headache at work, and then so that you're not just going home every day in like a headache state or like a borderline headache state?
Yeah, I actually answered this question to a patient this morning where as I was evaluating his neck, and he was in person, but I was evaluating his neck and just showing him where, you know, his neck will bias a certain position and how he holds his tension, and highlighting, you know, okay, this is sore, here's why it's sore, and here's our plan to get out of that. So it's intuitive for people to think, well, what was like the major, like, I didn't have any sort of major trauma. And it is intuitive to think, well, let's connect this sort of injury, or like, why is my neck like this? Because I haven't done anything crazy. I haven't been in a car accident. I haven't fallen off a horse. I haven't, you know, done the traumatic thing. And so, the answer is really that over time, you know, how we spend our day, gravity's weighing down on us, and we have to manage, we have to move, and those movements are, you know, like our brain has a plan and it tells each muscle what to do and it should be efficient. So everything from reaching up overhead to grab a, you know, a dish out of a cabinet to holding a bag, those positions should, and those movements should be efficient. But over time, because we teach our body to bias one side and we start to learn sort of an inefficient pattern to these movements, and so tension increases. So it is something that develops over time. And then if we remove movement and we don't actually use the full range of motion that these joints are allowed, we start to lose it. And so, like in PT school, did you guys ever use the term like use it or lose it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. It's the idea of our body's constantly adapting. And so it either adapts to positive stress, or in this case, we can call it like a negative stress, where you're not using or utilizing the available motion, and so you lose it. And so over time, if you've trained your head to sit to the right as you sit at your computer and then forward, it's going to be no surprise that we have to work hard to get back the nodding and the side bending. And so I would say most people, like if you pick someone off the street, they probably have these similar tension points. Maybe they have headaches, maybe they don't. But we all deal with it. And it's like, yeah, it's like the dentist example. We got to learn how to brush our teeth and floss so that we don't keep having cavities. So what are some of the triggers, the things to watch out for, like during a work day that you've seen?
Yeah, I think that one thing that just jumps right off the page is it's really hard. I'm this way. A lot of my patients I talk to are this way. But when you start a project, you get lost in the project. And that's going to lend itself to just kind of that sitting still. And often with like computer work, I would say most, if not every desk job involves a computer now. And so there is that tendency to kind of like lean forward, and you kind of like lean into the work, you get drawn into the computer. And that, like, if you think about what that's specifically doing to your neck, that's going to put that top joint, that nodding joint, in this position where it's kind of just like closed off. You lost the ability to have that. So every once in a while that would be fine, not problematic, but over weeks, months, years of working, you're gonna lose that ability to then, even if you're sitting upright, you're like, okay, well, I'm not in this position of like forward leaning. That first joint, that nodding, is just gonna be a motion that's gone. You didn't use it and you lost it. Now that doesn't mean you're not able to then recover it, but you have to know the problem, and then you have to put yourself in a proper position to not be like drawn into the computer, not leaning in, always forward, shoulders shrugged. And then the other thing is a lot of desks, and I think this is maybe changing, hopefully. I think, you know, some people will have like a standing desk option where it's either like something that sits on top of their desk and they can fold it up, or it's like the motorized version and you can have like the standing setting, the sitting setting. But you have to use that. like you can have a standing desk and sit at it all day. So you have to have like an appropriate ratio, because if you're sitting all day, I mean, I've seen studies before of like the pressure that like your spine as a whole feels in different positions. And when you're laying down, it's obviously very low stress. When you're standing, it's still a low amount of stress, just with like the way our body is designed. When you're sitting, it exponentially increases the pressure through your spine, even like with good posture. And then especially as you start to then like lean forward, the pressure on each vertebrae just kind of like exponentially increases as you're sitting, and then as your sitting posture decreases in its quality. So sitting in itself, even if you're like the best chair, you're sitting upright, it's still not like our bodies are not designed to sit for 8 hours a day. On top of that though, I mean, with work there, you have to look kind of like outside of work as well, you know, cause you can, you know, stand 60% of the time at work. But if you're just like getting home and you're like, well, I'm wore out, I'm tired, I'm stressed because of all these things at work that kind of pile up, then your home life is impacted. Like, it's really hard to have that separation. And that leads to low energy. Low energy makes you not want to have an active lifestyle. And that can be kind of a vicious like cycle of like, well, I'm stressed, so I don't want to work out. Now, the nice thing is like when you look at like the science of exercise, though, that's not something you're stuck in. Like, it seems counterintuitive almost, but the more active you are, like the more you exert yourself, the more energy you have. So I'm probably getting ahead of ourselves thinking more about like what to do. But that sedentary lifestyle doesn't just usually impact work, because then it impacts you when you get home, because you're sedentary, your body's low energy, you're not moving, your cardiovascular system's like, I'll just chill at this very low exercise rate. And then, yeah, I mean, stress at work is a real thing. Stress itself is not inherently bad. Like, stress is what can motivate us to get things done. Having a deadline is a good thing. You know, if a boss just came up to you and said, get this done eventually, you may start it, but if there's no deadline, you may not finish it. So having that like stress of a deadline can be a good thing. But stress is not, you know, stress is, it's an emotion, and it's also, we physically carry it. And so when those two things are attached, though, when your physical stress, when your emotional stress are not two separate things, and every time you have the emotion of stress, you just physically shrug, you physically have this like physical response, your body is going to kind of revolt back. And so there can be strategies to try to separate those, to even when you have that emotional stress, that deadline to hit, that you don't just automatically clench your jaw, shrug your shoulders, your low back feels tight, you know, you're kind of like balling up your fists. That has to be separated. Because if every time there's a deadline, you just like go into this stress, physical stress mode. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really hard, even with the most helpful posture strategies, to not just have a high likelihood of triggering a headache at work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, they go hand in hand, the physical and the emotional, meaning the emotional stress may drive someone into the physical, but you know, the opposite's true. And so that's what we want to coach people into, is like, if you can improve the physical side, like, you'll get the benefit of the emotional side reducing as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. You can impact your body's like serotonin levels and the endorphins, like, just by being active. I mean, 90 minutes of moderate intensity exercise throughout the week can work as well as some migraine meds. And so it's like you get that benefit at the chemical level from, you know, changing physically what your day looks like. A few other thoughts that popped into my head. I mean, 15 degrees of a forward head position doubles the perceived weight on the neck. So it goes from like 10 to 12 pounds to like 20. And then I remember one study looking at the, you know, they introduced standing desks, and even if the people in the study used the desk for an hour, so an 8 hour day, if they use it for an hour, it reduced their back and neck pain by 50%, which is, I mean, yeah, we recommend using it more than an hour, but, yeah. Just goes to show you, if you give your body some of that, some of the movement that it wants, or you take some of the stress off, it'll really thank you for that. Okay. So what are some like simple tips and tricks that people can use, whether it's in their workplace or, what comes to mind as far as like practical things? Hey, all, I wanted to let you in on some exciting news. Novera Headache Center is growing. We're expanding. We now have two locations. One of the needs we have is to actually hire another physical therapist. A physical therapist, and then potentially even administrative staff. So if you are a physical therapist, if you know of a physical therapist, or maybe you're not a physical therapist, you just have a skill set that you think we could benefit from in our mission to educate and empower people with headaches and migraines, what I want you to do is to email hello@noveraheadachecenter.com. And we will get you started on this application process. We'll start the conversation. We want to tap into the network of people we already have who get what we're doing and want to be a part of this mission. So we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I think having a pattern of activity, and that's both in the work and outside of the work. Yeah, I think one of the great inventions has been the water bottle. but the downfall of that is that water cooler breaks are no longer really like a thing. People have like, you know, the giant 64-ounce Stanley cups that are just like by their desk all the time. And so, or the ones, I've seen ones and it's like a gallon of water and it has the different time slots, which is great. Like it's a great reminder, hey, drink water. But that decreases the likelihood that you're going to rhythmically get up, have that break of like, okay, I need to get up, not just to go to the water cooler and get water, but to like break yourself out of that habit, that pattern, or take a break from that, that assignment you're doing. And so, yeah, I think that's probably, the best strategy is finding ways to incorporate breaks into your day. And that's not just like a 30-minute break. That's not just or a break every 30 minutes. But that is finding, even if you're just like, okay, I'm getting, you know, sucked into the computer. My shoulders are going forward. My neck's going forward. It's even just saying, okay, I'm gonna roll my shoulders back. I'm gonna bring my head back, and I'm gonna now work on this project. Still at my desk. Still trying to fight to take breaks throughout the day. Going walking. Even just doing a loop around the office. If you work at home, you know, doing a loop around your home. But yeah, I think that water cooler break idea is one that's super helpful. And then, yeah, I mean, I mentioned this, but the shoulders and the neck, making sure that the shoulders aren't forward, that the neck isn't getting pushed forward. And I think another thing is thinking about the ergonomic setup of the desk, whether sitting or standing. A lot of people work with laptops now. And so, yeah, I mean, in our office, we have laptop stands that we use. But then with that, if your laptop is on a stand, it puts the neck in a great position so that you're not, you know, looking down too far. But then the keyboard is connected to the screen. And that's not ideal, because then you're typing like right next to your neck and your shoulders are going to go up. So then having a separate keyboard, a separate mouse pad, those can also be helpful strategies. I think those are a few. I don't know if you have a few to add as well.
Yeah. The saying is the next posture is the best posture. So it's really this idea of, you know, the dynamic nature of your day. Like we need to improve that. We need to build on that. Yeah, screen at eye level, separate keyboard, separate mouse. I mean, there's like, whether it's on Etsy, like if you don't have a standing desk, go on Etsy and buy one of those like stands that has a spot for your keyboard and then the laptop. But stay away from the, you know, sitting at the dining room table or like at a bar stool. Mm-hmm. For the, you know, my maybe high schoolers, college age, the students, like try to avoid studying on your bed, because that can be really rough. And if you have a laptop, try to have like an area where you can stand and actually look at the screen without your head tipping down like that. And break it up. I mean, I usually tell people, if you're gonna sit, you know, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and then find another position. Or go on a walk, or, you know, just break it up, do something different. Our bodies can sustain pretty much any position. It's just when we're in those positions for prolonged periods, and just everyone's, you know, sitting with a forward head position generally. Outside of like the office setup, I mean, I know in our notes we have, you know, the repetitive work scenarios. So maybe provide an example or someone you've worked with that isn't necessarily working at a desk, but it still has things to look out for.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few patients that have more like active, whether that's landscaping or some sort of like coaching, martial arts, kind of like job career. And yeah, I mean, with those professions, it is that repetitive motion. And this goes back to like a 2 weeks ago or so, or two podcast episodes ago, when we talked about, you know, the athlete and those repetitive motions and how they lean themselves to then have an imbalance in kind of our muscle tone. So that idea of, you know, if you're always working forward, your pecs are going to be strong, but also very shortened and tight. Which is then going to lend itself to, you're going to have weak muscles in the back. And so when there is that repetitive motion, whether that's a factory line worker, whether that is like you're a martial arts instructor, or you're an athletics coach, or you're working lawn care, shoveling snow, like realize that your tendency is to favor that repetitive motion. And so that's going to have muscles that then are going to be overly dominant, and other muscles that are going to be overly underused. And then it's that use it or lose it principle. If you're not using those muscles, they're going to check out. They're going to lose their muscle mass. They're going to lose their recruitability, where the body's going to find a different strategy to use to have that motion without using that muscle, because that muscle is weak. And the body is trying to be as efficient as possible. And so when there is weak muscles, when there's a underused strategy, the body is going to create another strategy, which is only going to make that issue and make that that repetitive motion more and more harmful. So it's trying to find ways to undo that, both in the sense of when you're at work, but then outside of that, and this kind of, I think this gets into maybe a little bit of like the next line item, but it in large part is going to be most impacted by your outside of work strategies. So this is where just having like an active lifestyle is super important. Even if you work and your job is manual labor. Yeah, I mean, I've heard people have conversations of like, well, you know, I was going to work out, but like I needed to do chores that day. So I'll just do chores as an activity, which is great. Get your chores done, make your house clean. If it's your job, like do your job and be active, but realize that that is going to be repetitive and you still need to have strategies outside of that. One, to take the mental break of like, I'm just going to go work on like physically exerting myself, getting my cardiovascular system working, getting my musculoskeletal system working. And realizing that that is going to improve your overall fitness much more than just doing work or doing chores that are active.
It's when I think another principle here is that you want to be balanced, symmetrical. So if you're in a job with a repeated activity and like you're shoveling, you're going to, you know, pretty much be dominant on one side. So, and take any activity, like literally anything. Like we have trained our bodies to be more efficient on one side. So if you're right side dominant, potentially, you know, you're just biasing your right side over and over and over again. So everything sort of shifts that direction. Whereas, if you can start to highlight those things and think, okay, how can I do this on my left side so I'm more balanced? But simple things like standing and sitting, just trying to be symmetrical rather than playing into that. Because you don't have to sit leaning to the right. Like you can sit leaning to the left. You can sit with your weight through both hips. That's not like a skilled thing. It's not like brushing your teeth. You don't necessarily have to train yourself to brush with your left hand. But the little things that you can shift and balance to the other way, to the other side of the body will help. And then, yeah, it's a matter of, I guess, you don't have to change if you can't change the type of work you do or like how you do that work, So a dental hygienist, for example, like you're sitting on the right side, you're always hunched over. Like there's patterns to that that will lead to shoulder tension, neck tension. What you need to do is then add in specific things that are going to have the opposite effect. So like if your pecs are tight and forward, like you said, how do we open that up, or how do we improve stability on like the backside around the shoulder blade? And so it's those types of things where the specific exercises that we work with in our coaching program as well, to say like, hey, this is probably your pattern. Let's try the opposite and see how that works out for you. So it's changing the little daily things so that time's on your side, and then it's allowing it's doing the specific things, because we can't change everything in our day. So it's okay. Let's add in the therapeutic exercises that are kind of specific to your scenario, and then it's a general exercise where we get all sorts of benefit from just cardiovascular benefit to being able to tolerate, the emotional stress, to, mimicking migraine meds, to all sorts of good stuff with general exercise. But it all comes down to kind of giving your body the movement it needs. And that's really what we work through in our virtual coaching. Let's speak to a little bit of like the benefit of coaching, because, we are manual therapists and we work with our hands a ton, but, our virtual, when we're coaching someone, like, It helps them immensely, and I'll let you speak to that a bit too.
Yeah, I've had many people in the last weeks, months that have, in the virtual program, I like to just kind of have some ongoing dialogue via email, just of like, hey, because we space it out a little bit, like two weeks in between some of the visits, to let some of those changes we discussed take root and see if, how sustainable are they, how helpful are they, and are they changing your headaches? In the last week, I've had some really like encouraging emails, just with people who, daily headache sufferers, and they're celebrating like their first week headache free in like 20 plus years. And so that just like, that motivates me, because then I'm like, well, I don't just want to help this one person. Like I want to help, all people. So, if it's someone listening on this podcast and you're kind of like on the fence, you're like, oh, what is the difference between, why can't I just listen to the podcast? Why can't I, just look at YouTube videos? Or, and the big difference is just the individuality. We've talked about like workplace setup. We've talked about, some types of jobs that could be repetitive and difficult and hard on the body, but each person is going to be individual. So you can have principles that are universal, but you can't just give everybody a cookie cutter approach. Like when I do these virtual programs, I have to look at what is your specific work setup? A lot of people I work with, we're doing virtual coaching, and I don't know if you've seen this too, but a lot of the people I work with also work virtually, or have like a virtual element too. And that gives us the freedom to then, in the middle of kind of over a lunch break at home, they don't have to be in the office. We can be at home. So there's benefit to that. But also it's like, okay, what's your work setup? But then are you doing work where you're sitting in bed, or you're at the dining room table, you're at the island, you're kind of like, you have multiple places that you're actually doing work. So you can think about the theoretical, what is my work setup? But then you have to make it individual. Where are you actually working? And I think that idea kind of goes beyond that of, okay, forward shoulders, head forward. These are generally universal principles for people who have headaches. But specifically, you have a forward head, you have rounded shoulders, but is one shoulder more active, more in a position of, disalignment than the other? Does your head have a tilt, right versus left? And a lot of people, you're not aware of this until somebody like us, when we do these virtual programs, kind of say like, ooh, did you notice that, when you're looking at me, when we're having this conversation, you're always tilting to the right? Or our phone, I've had people... and I'm at their work setup, and when we're doing the virtual program, and the computer screen's off to the right. So, they're typing and they're even, but then when they look at me, they're always looking off to the right, or they're always looking off to the left. And so this is something that if you don't realize is even a slight change, The general principle falls a little bit short because you haven't made it individual, and you don't realize the individual difference until somebody like gives you that thorough workup. And that's what the virtual program does, is we make these principles individual. And then we talk about, okay, so these are the individual principles, but what are goals to actually make this sustainable? And that's the big, like, that's always my big push, is with each visit, I want to talk about goals, because we'll talk about a lot of topics in the virtual program, but it's finding what are goals that are not just theoretical, like, oh, I want to be more active, or, oh, I want to change my work setup. But it's no, like, how are you going to do that? And let's talk about that. And then in 2 weeks, I'm going to check in and say, did you do that? And if not, it's not like a slap on the wrist, but in one sense, it's like, you're the agent of change. You have to do this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to see limited benefit from this. And so I love doing the virtual coaching, because it's seeing people who want to take control of their headaches, but don't know how, start to be able to take control of their headaches. And it's super rewarding.
Yeah. The one element of that, which you hit on, is an additional element, is accountability. And so I've had, everyone knows, like, at least I would assume most people know that, you know, you're staring at your phone, like, they may not know how, but it's like, yeah, it's not healthy, right? Like, I think generally people would agree with that. But, you know, you pay me to go through a virtual program with you, and I ask you how much time you spend on your phone, and they like kind of squirm in their chair, and they're like, well, probably like 3 to 4 hours. It's like, okay, well, do you want to get better? Okay. So like, let's cut that down and change the habit. And that accountability, like, it works. And then people start to make changes, and they're like, oh yeah. Like, I think part of it is our healthcare system so set up to be like, this is a chemical problem. You need medication. Like, there's no way like making these simple changes will help, but they do. And so a lot of what we're doing is just like empowering people to do the things they know what to do, they know how to do. And then making sure we provide them with, you know, the support and the structure so that they can have success with it. Our successes virtually have been matched in person for sure. There are some scenarios where, you know, it makes sense for people to come out before we start seeing progress, and those that can be a different conversation. Like, if you're interested in the virtual program, reach out to us and we can set up a virtual discovery visit. It's just a half an hour where we chat with you and get to hear your story and then see if you're a good fit. But by no means is it something that should be overlooked. We enjoy it because people get better. And if you're listening to this and have been hesitant on pulling the trigger, please do, so that we can help you, because we love what we do. As Dr. Gutwein just said, it's fun to help people. And we know that there are a lot more people out there than we have helped. And so we're going to continue this journey. Thanks so much for being on the podcast again. Any last words or thoughts? Or
yeah, I mean, I think the last thought would just be, like, if you're on the fence, the discovery visit would be an ability for us to kind of have that conversation of, like, is this going to be beneficial? Trying to take that first step. Because sometimes that first step feels like the hardest step. But then once you take that step, you realize, like, ooh, I didn't realize how bad my headaches were, how much this was impacting my life, until I actually started, like, talking about it with somebody. So, yeah, if you're on the fence, book a free discovery visit, low stakes. The only opportunity is just to learn more about your headaches.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, what we're on 160 something episodes of this podcast. And I'm hopeful that you, the listener, have gotten some good information out of it. And then we'll give you our time for free. So super low risk. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. You're the reason that we continue to do this, to solve this big, big issue of people wandering through the healthcare system, not knowing where to turn for answers, being stuck in this rut of taking medication. So it's our mission to educate and empower everyone out of that. And thank you for being a part of this journey. Please share that with someone that you know that would need this over the holiday season especially. And we'll look forward to chatting in the new year. Hey guys, before we sign off, just one last reminder that we are looking to hire a physical therapist. If you know of a physical therapist or if you are one and you want to join our mission, again, send us an email at hello@noveraheadachecenter.com and we'll get you started on the process. Thanks so much for being a part of this mission and listening to this podcast and sharing, spreading the word. We'll see you next time.